Hi, and welcome to the 2011 edition of the Top 10 Most Influential CDs. This is a regular yearly thing. Just pick the 10 CDs, thereabouts, that meant the most to me for the year or influenced me the most. It doesn't have to be new, doesn't have to be released this year. It just has to be what spent the most time on my CD or made me think the most in the year. Anybody listening to this, you're welcome to contribute. Just send an email to dave@davehartle.com. I'll add it to a long post, which becomes a PDF up on the website, or by email to my friends. So, let's go. The first one is Tom Waits, Bad As Me. Really was waiting for this one to come out, and it did not disappoint. Tom Waits has survived his 70s roots and multiple personas at this point, growing more influential with age and becoming a cultural icon capable of suing corporations for using voice-alikes in their ads and actually winning cases, mainly due to his voice being so instantly recognizable and idiomatic. Well, here's his first new album of new material since 2004's Real Gone, and it really represents a return to his songwriting roots, complete with multiple personas and different voices, a different voice for whatever point of view he needs for the song. Like most artists that really sort of push the envelope, Waits has put out stuff in the past that you might not be crazy about. I wasn't too fond of his decadent Berlin period of the early 80s. But stick around and he'll wander to something more appealing. In this case, he really has returned to a songwriting roots thing, and every tune is sort of a picture, a very different thing. Some feel his voice is a wreck, destroyed by way too many nights on stage with old gold cigarettes and half-drunk cans of Pabst Blue Ribbon carried in his Skid Row jacket pockets. But what he does with his diminished tool is awesome in the true sense of the word. If I had the skills and imagination of Tom Waits on how to use what you've got, I would even sing as well. My friends are grateful for my limited concept, though. This album sits at the top of my list this year because no matter how often I throw it on the player, I still smile every time I put it on. It really is that good. The second one up is Miles Davis Quintet Live in Europe 1967, the Bootleg Series, Volume 1. This is three CDs and a DVD of the greatest, most imaginative and creative quintet in the history of jazz, in my humble opinion. Touring Europe in 1967, the continental media over there appreciated what the American media didn't and obsessively recorded and filmed them in the moment this music was created. And now we get to reap the benefits thanks to that. Bob Dylan's gotten treatment from Columbia Legacy in the past with his bootleg series idea, resulting in the greatest releases that Dylan's gotten out in the last 10 years. It's a really good sign to see Miles getting this same kind of treatment, and leads me to hope that there'll be more volumes in this bootleg series. They played basically the same set every night on this, but every night is radically different, and a real revelation in the possibilities each song offers. No other group has ever lived in the moment as deeply as these five guys did. It's absolutely amazing, and the DVD is impeccable as well. Number three on the list is Thomas Dolby's A Map of the Floating City. Thomas Dolby's always been a huge favorite of mine. Being a synth geek, I love what he's done in the past just in a textural way. To this day, Waldorf synthesizers are my favorite synths. It's my favorite synth manufacturer out there, and it's just the sound of the instrument I love. Their history goes back to the PPG system that Dolby premiered with when he was an MTV darling in the early 1980s. He's always remained on the cutting edge of technology, and this gave unexpected benefits when a doohickey he patented for content on cell phones became an industry standard, allowing him to amass a big shit pile of money and declaring himself free of the recording industry, or what's left of it these days. He sold the company and hit the road to reconnect with his fans, and came to the Sellersville Theater several times with his solo Inhabitant one-man show and a tour with the Mafia Horns, giving real entertaining concerts and new insights in his repertoire, but offering no new material. He said he was just getting up and running at that point. Well, he finally made the step to new material. And what's interesting is how he promotes it as an independent entity with no major label promo at all. This CD came out actually piecemeal on his site in three chapters. About the last year or so, pieces were coming out and sold as they came out. And it was offered with a gimmick that was so complex I never could understand what to do to get the music and sort of waited until he did a regular CD release like a normal person. I know it was some weird multi-tiered online game with navigating through the floating world. Who knows? How's the music? Well, some of it's tremendous. My Evil Twin Brother, which I have on the background here. Simone's a great tune. And some tunes are sort of annoying. The cuts that focus on his admiration of American roots music mostly. Sort of a love of country music. There's enough of that annoying country shit around without a white Brit putting in his two cents, in my humble opinion. But Dolby's albums always bear repeated listenings and open up with time, so the jury might still be out on this. It's about a month old as I speak. I don't think he'll ever top the Golden Age of Wireless and the Flat Earth, his first albums, but this'll do very nicely for now. If he tours, don't miss him. He's hired our friend Terry Jackson back in the 1980s and still pays tribute to him when he introduces songs from that period, proving to me that he's a real mensch and one hell of a pop musician. Number four is Angela Badalamenti, Music for Film and Television. I know Badalamenti from his work with David Lynch mostly. Those movies always have a very moody, ethereal soundtrack. If you ever listen to the zombie blues and the surf guitar on Quaaludes feel of Twin Peaks, you'll think you know the man. But this CD is something else. It's orchestral in nature, gorgeous beyond words. Marianne Faithfull sings one number to a really eerie effect, and his theme for the Olympics should be in every drum and bugle corps repertoire. It's really amazing stuff. This is a disc I just put on and let it wash over me. As I was looking for what track to do, I really couldn't tell them apart. I just play the whole thing straight through, and it's just transporting stuff. Really amazingly beautiful modern movie score music.
My telephone rang one evening, my buddy called for me.
Number five on the list is Ry Cooder, new one called Pull Up Some Dust and Sit Down. Ry Cooder's first albums back in the 1970s, the early 1970s, including Into the Purple Valley, Boomer Story, and Paradise and Lunch, were scrapbooks of Depression-era Americana, filled with the social consciousness of Woody Guthrie and other left-wing sympathizers. Starting with the 1980s, Cooder got deep into ethnic musics, resulting in triumphs like the Buena Vista Social Club and its elderly members who enjoyed a sort of second curtain call late in their lives thanks to Cooder. He also became very acclaimed for film scores that needed a Tex-Mex or Roots flavor, Crossroads, Paris, Texas, Last Man Standing, and a bunch of others. But there were some old fans like me who had seen him back in the day playing at the Main Point with a guitar, dobro, mandolin, and a bottle of tequila, and who always missed that particular incarnation of Cooter. Well, here it is. He's come full circle, just like Tom Waits this year. He's back to the early part of his career, but he's informed by what he knows with a huge vocabulary of flavors. He's learned a lot from ethnic musics and brings them to the mix, but delivers them with the flavor of a modern Woody Guthrie. Throughout the Occupy movement this year, I've waited for some tune to grab the zeitgeist of the day and galvanize people in the way We Shall Overcome hit the civil rights movement and Dylan's early folk albums affected the protest movement. Well, I submit for the summation of the Occupy movement in song form, the first cut on this disc, No Banker Left Behind. It's simple, catchy, irresistible, and really has a political point. If Cooter doesn't get his due on progressive causes and social justice from this disc, it's no fault of his own because he deserves it. And that's only the opening salvo. Woody Guthrie's guitar famously was inscribed with a motto, "This machine kills fascists." Cooter better buy a wood-burning tool and get to work on his acts with a release like this one. And just to show he's a total class act, the CD ends with a tune that shows that politics don't have to be totally divisive. No Hard Feelings is the tune. It shows a generosity of spirit and magnanimous forgiveness to the opposition, pointing how we really can all come together and improve our dire problems. I guess my only question is, why is it always the progressives that exhibit this and the faux news crowd only mans the barricades and throws brickbats? Oh well, Cooter has a more generous spirit than mine, perhaps. Number 6 on the list, Norman David and the 11-tet, At This Time. Okay, full disclosure time. I'm partial to this album because Norm's a friend of mine. He's a colleague, fellow musician in Philadelphia, but this album is the real thing. Norm's been using me in his rehearsals, and one of the joys of my life this past year has been playing his charts with him. Both the ones on this CD and many others that flow from his prolific pen, he shows up at a rehearsal, he'll have 4 or 5 new tunes that nobody's ever heard, and he's been writing a long time, so he resurrects some of the old ones as well. His pieces combine the structured with total openness for soloists, who he features prominently and lovingly. Philly's best are lined up to play with him, and he knows how to bring ringers in on a high-profile gig just to polish it up even further. Suffice it to say that after one listen to the CD, I made it abundantly clear to Norm that I was available if he ever needed a pianist, synthesist, Chapman stickist, thereminist, whatever. I'm grateful he took me up on my offer. I look forward to more rehearsals, hopefully in 2012. In the meantime, check out this disc. It shows a new major voice on the Philly scene, and one that you really should check out live as soon as possible. He does sort of a monthly gig at Play and Players Theater, and you really should try to catch that. Number 7 is Todd Rundgren, a new album called Todd Rundgren's Johnson. Todd Rundgren? At the Sellersville Theater? Yeah, it happened this past year. He decided to come to our small local theater to shake down a tour of Robert Johnson tunes. And what a show it was. Rundgren isn't really paying tribute to Robert Johnson here as much as the British blues bands of the 60s that released electric versions of Johnson's tunes. The concert had Kasim Sultan and Prairie Prince in the rhythm section, which really smoked, of course, and featured little done favorites from Todd's past as well. Be Nice to Me, Hamburger Hell, in a version so spontaneous that Kasim was energetically cueing the extra beats in the chorus to Prairie Prince so he wouldn't turn the beat around. I've been waiting for 30 years to hear Hamburger Hell live, and I finally got my wish this night. And it was also the best guitar playing I've ever heard Todd do. He's on a real roll. He's burning, and this disc is a souvenir of one of the most interesting rock shows I've seen this decade. Todd also did a couple tours this year where he would play entire albums from his past, and he went back as a favorite of Moggy Klingman, his first synth player in New York days. And he really is sort of having a great second career happening all of a sudden. He's worth catching as always, and always a favorite of mine. Number 8, The Grateful Dead. In particular, Dick's Picks, Volume 36, The Spectrum, Philadelphia, PA, 9/21/72, and other concerts as well. This pick is really sort of the Grateful Dead live library in general, which is an amazing thing. Oh, no, you friggin' old hippie, you. I can hear it. Yeah, well, let me say right now that I saw the Dead numerous times in the 70s, every time I could. And this concert on Dick's Picks 36 was included in that. That was the first time I had seen them. I was sitting next to a seriously mescaline-damaged friend who flamed out a year later and disappeared. I was watching and listening to the Dead construct what's on this disc in real time. I can still see Garcia singing Morning Dew on this. And I became a real believer that night in what they were doing. As Bill Graham put it, the Dead aren't the best at what they do. They're the only ones that do what they do, or did what they did. I can put up with the pseudo-country cowboy tunes from Bob Weir, Bill Monroe picking from Garcia, and all the other Americana things that have sort of grown to bore me in the present. But what keeps me listening to them is the group mind when they launch from a well-known tune into space. They really took it out, took chances in live performance, and I admire them for that in the same way I admire any great jazz group. Their communication and spontaneity at their best was on a par with the aforementioned Miles Davis quintet, but in a very different style and level of execution. It was their willingness to take risks that really made this work for me. In addition to this particular disc, there's great moments in a lot of the Dick's Pick series of Dead concerts and the endless supply you'll find online. Check out Google the Grateful Dead Listening Guide. That's a great place to weed out the best concerts and the mediocre ones. And there's another site called archive.org that has a huge Grateful Dead section. They'll provide the live concert you seek in most cases, either in a streaming mode or as a download. The Dead allowed tapers for years. It's a huge resource for Dead music, this archives. And it's all free of charge thanks to this generation of Deadhead tapers. Guaranteed to keep your Dead concert desires, which was their real forte, the concerts. They never were studio guys. But if you ever had any interest at all in the Dead, there's so much free stuff online. A lot of it really is pretty amazing. I tend to gravitate towards the second set Space Jams and just go through and hear what they did in various things. I can only take Bob Weir's cowboy tunes in a couple variations, but the other stuff really holds up. Number 9, various artists in a compilation, a British CD release, I believe, called Can You Dig It? The Music and Politics of Black Action Films, 1968-75. It doesn't really take exposure to Quentin Tarantino's films to get you to like this collection, but it can't hurt. Just like the title says, this is the music from the early 1970s blaxploitation films. You might not think you've missed the musical highlights from Sweet Sweetback's badass song, Black Caesar, and Hell Up in Harlem. But give them a listen and you'll be back again. Marvin Gaye, Isaac Hayes, Grant Green, Booker T, Edwin Starr, Quincy Jones, Dennis Coffey, Solomon Burke, many others are scattered on this imported two-disc set. It's just a thing for cruising down Broad Street with the windows open on a hot summer night, not a soul touching. Number 10 on my list, an old favorite redone up, Traffic's John Barleycorn Must Die, the deluxe edition, two-disc set. Finally, a brilliantly remastered and augmented release of what may be my idea of the best rock album of the early days. Much better than the Beatles to me, and more soulful than anything else out there at the time. Steve Winwood has the greatest blue-eyed soul voice ever in my book, and he was young and just full of piss and vinegar on this album. It started out as a solo Stevie Winwood album after Traffic called it quits. Winwood called his old mates in, and he needed a flute, he needed this and that. Before you knew it, Traffic was back as a studio trio and went on to work as a quartet by adding Rick Gretsch from Family when they played live. Side one of the original album of this on vinyl is, to me, the most perfect, mysterious, and unexplainable display of songwriting and vocal performance ever put down in rock. This release features a crystal-clear remix of the original album, and then, on the second disc, follows it up with great outtakes and a live concert with Rick Gretsch from the period that has to be heard. I try not to wallow in nostalgia in these lists, but this disc was given to me for my birthday, and I've been completely floored by it all over again. It defies intellectualization. I can't explain why this is so great, but it exists in just a perfect gestalt, and I think Stevie Winwood is just a spontaneous genius. Thank you. Well, that's the top 10. And then I have the category of honorable mentions, stuff that came through and really held up over the year. This first one is various artists, really this 20th Century Fox Studio Orchestra, doing 75 years of great film music. It's just a great multi-disc overview of the studio's greatest, most iconic soundtracks from the early days and the fanfare all the way through to modern contemporary movies. Lush, emotional, and it's really the true classical music of the 20th century. Webern be damned. This is the stuff that people liked and responded to and had the audience, and it's serious composition. Another honorable mention, Charlie Musselwhite, Sanctuary. I really enjoyed Delta Hardware. These are releases he's had on Peter Gabriel's Real World label. I just love this man's mix of electric blues and harmonica. He's smoking. And this is as gutsy as the Real World label gets. I find it odd that the Brits have such a fascination for Americana roots music, but in this case it really works. Charlie Musselwhite is a very bluesy, very soulful kind of player. Like everything else on this list, it really bears up to many repeated listenings. It's been a pretty constant companion in my car. Another honorable mention, the Jazz Crusaders, the Pacific Jazz Quintet Studio Sessions. I usually have a Mosaic release, Mosaic Records, in case you don't know, re-releases sort of neglected jazz in really deluxe box sets that are a limited edition. Once they're gone, they show up on eBay for highly inflated prices, over and over, making it through the circle of eBay traders. And Mosaic Records did it again with this one. This one's featuring the Jazz Crusaders, a group with a guy who really influenced me without my realizing it, Joe Sample, the piano player. There are stories of Joe Sample being able to play two tunes in two different keys simultaneously in the studio. Guys challenging him, his left hand would play one thing and his right hand would play an entirely different thing. Extremely ambidextrous and very soulful. I saw him early on and never really forgot what I had seen. He really brought us groove consciousness to my playing in a lot of ways. Combining great chops with soulful grooves and sophisticated writing and harmonies, there's real pleasure in these tunes. I was surprised how much of the set I had heard in passing over the years. A really unappreciated group. Nobody talks about them, bearing very little resemblance to the cheesy radio-friendly group they became later on. This set captures them when they were young, ambitious, and daring, and it really is one of the more pleasant surprises I've had this year. My last honorable mention is just an old reggae favorite that I had really worn out on vinyl. I got a CD copy from England this year on eBay. It's Ja Lyon's Columbia Kali. Extremely hard to find reggae CD. It's part of the Mango collection. Ja Lyon was a Jamaican DJ corralled into the studio like so many others by Lee Perry, performing a pre-rap style of semi-spoken performance over recorded grooves, sometimes borrowing from other great reggae tunes like Junior Mervyn's Police and Thieves. Why is this better than the rest of the stuff like it? I can't even say. Again, it's like the Traffic album. I don't know why I like this so much. I just do. My click and pop riddled vinyl copy of this had to go, replaced by a digital CD copy I finally bought. And it's that rare. It was worth it. Worth every moment of it. Just to hear, "Hey, fat man, won't you slide down your trapdoor," or whatever the hell he's singing. I can't understand it. I can't tell. But it doesn't matter. It's just right. Well, I hope you enjoyed the list. Please respond, send some feedback to me. As I said, I'll compile it and post it. And thanks for listening another year. As you climb up your trapdoor, hey, fat man.